Okay, I just want to see if AGP is set. Okay. Good evening and welcome to the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting for Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. It's 6 p.m. and we are at the South County Regional Center, which is 800 West Branch Street. For anyone who may be interested in coming down, make sure we note the location change. So welcome this evening. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Guthrie?
Here.
Councilmember Brown?
Here.
Councilmember Barnidge?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon?
Here.
And Mayor Hill?
Here. Please join us in a moment of reflection. Thank you. And this evening we have South County Historical Society will help us with the flag salute. So if we would please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. And if you'll tell us about some of the events going on with the Historical Society.
Good, I'm getting the chance. First of all, I want to thank Honorable Mayor, City Council, and City staff. I'm sure that you appreciate all the help that the Society has given to you, but we especially receive all the help that the City has given to the Historical Society. We're going to be celebrating our 40th year this year as an organization. And I think, if I have it right, I think the mayor is going to help us celebrate. It's a big deal for us. We tried to do a lot of things to help the city out, and I really think we're doing a good job. And we work very close with the city. As you know, I think the next couple of weeks is going to be a big deal in town with the gala and all that stuff. So hopefully we'll all work together, and I want to again thank you again for letting me pledge. It's very important to me, the flag, and I raised my grandchildren respecting it, and my kids are respecting it, and so I really appreciate you asking me to do it. Thank you again.
Thank you very much for the help, and thank you to all of our friends at the Historical Society. Okay, item 5 is agenda review. We did have some closed sessions from our prior meeting, and I will ask our district legal counsel or our city counsel please to announce the result of the closed session items.
Yes, Your Honor. At the closed session of September 13th, 2016, there was a conference with legal counsel for anticipated litigation. There were two potential cases. At the conclusion of the meeting regarding those two items, the City Council authorized the mayor to execute a settlement agreement with Charter Communication regarding the collection of public education and government, also known as PEG fees. The second potential case, the City Council, by a vote of 4-0, with Mayor Hill recusing himself due to an employment conflict of interest, voted to jointly participate with the City of San Luis Obispo and other participating cities in proceedings before the California Public Utilities Commission regarding a joint proposal filed by PG&E and other parties to close both units of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. The third item discussed in closed session was a public employee performance evaluation of the interim city manager, and there was no reportable action as a result of that conference.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have any items they'd like to move on the agenda? Can we move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Tonight we have no special presentations, and that brings us to item 7, which is community comments and suggestions. Any member of the public is welcome to come up and address the council on any item that is not on the agenda this evening. And for those items that are on the agenda this evening, we'll have an opportunity to discuss those and take public comment before the council acts on any of those items. So, Linda.
Good evening, Mayor Hill, council members, and staff. Lord God, as the election approaches, we seek to better understand the issues and the concerns that confront our cities, state, and country, and how the gospel compels us to respond as faithful citizens in our community. We ask for eyes that are free from blindness so that we might see each other as brothers and sisters, one and equal in dignity, especially those who are victims of abuse and violence, dissent and poverty. We ask for ears that we may hear the cries of children unborn and those abandoned, men and women oppressed because of race, creed, religion, or gender. We ask for minds and hearts that are open to hearing the voice of leaders who will bring us closer to your kingdom. We pray for discernment so that we may choose leaders who hear your word, live your love, and keep the ways of your truth. As they follow in the steps of Jesus and his apostles and guide us to your kingdom of justice and peace, we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Would anyone else like to address the council at this time? Ms. Welch.
Patty Welch, Arroyo Grande. I want to give a huge shout out to Officer Shane Day and a local neighbor by the first name of Eddie, who helped fight part of the fire that happened on Whitley this weekend. Their quick thinking and getting hoses out helped keep a palm tree from spreading to a roof line of the house not far away. But also, our fire department, our police department, Cal Fire, San Luis Obispo Fire, and PG&E, because they were the first ones on site, did an amazing job containing and putting out that fire, getting two people out and their pets safely, and they deserve our applause. Thank you.
Thank you. We agree. Mr. Snook.
Good evening, Council. My name is Brad Snook. I'm chair of our county's chapter of Surf Rider Foundation. This is a time of year when our chapter kind of throws a benefit of our own for junior lifeguards. And so if anybody's had kids in junior lifeguards or support guards in general, October 8th is our 23rd annual Ken Harmount peer-to-peer paddle from Port San Luis to the Pismo Pier. Ken Harmount was the reason that our chapter started in this county. Ken is a paraplegic because of a snowboarding accident. At the time, his friends got together to do the peer-to-peer, the first peer-to-peer, to raise money for Ken's hospital bills. But Ken, having seen this amazing, you know, gift from his friends, said, thank you very much, but I don't want the money. What I want to do is I want to start a Surf Rider chapter right here. And at the time, it was called the San Luis Bay chapter, and we've since changed it to the San Luis Obispo chapter. But it's on October 8th. We're asking paddlers to come out around 7 o'clock. The paddle starts at 8:30, and it usually takes three and a half hours. Our first paddlers usually get to Pismo around 10, and those are usually the fastest stand-up paddlers. So we're looking for volunteers to come out and table early in the morning. It's usually a beautiful sunrise. We're looking for people to cheer on the paddlers and help move their gear up the beach when they arrive in Pismo. So you can contact SLO at surfrider.org and come out. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address the council?
Good evening, everyone. Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. What I wanted to talk about tonight was history and also the Methodist campground or campfire camp, what different people have different names for it. But at the last planning meeting, I spoke about the camp, and the whole room that attended the planning committee meeting raised their hands in support of somehow preserving the campground for the public benefit and interest, a park or whatever can be arranged. So we're hoping that the city council will take an interest in taking leadership of that. I know we have some people interested in forming nonprofits and whatever, but we do need assistance in that. So tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about John Beckett, who was the man who donated that property to the Methodist Church. He came here in about the 1870s, and his main business venture was a realtor. And at one point, he sold property from 1870 until 1922 when he died. He never stopped. And at one point, he had sold over $3 million worth of real estate and achieved that fact without one foreclosure. So eat your heart out, Century 21 or current realtors, because I don't think anybody can say that. And keep in mind that a lot of times some of the property was only a dollar an acre. Some of it was as much as $20 or $28 an acre, but that was probably good farmland. He also was a school teacher for 15 years, and he had the first commercial nursery in the county. He had a nursery in San Luis, Arroyo, and Santa Maria. So I'm not sure when the guy ever slept. He also, during the Civil War, was up in Northern California, and he was part of the Russian River Rifles of Healdsburg. So that was, when they had more local groups that defended different areas of California. He also owned different tracts of land, and he had the Grover Tract, which was about 1,100 acres. And what he envisioned, and partly what happened, was he envisioned a two or three mile long road that led from Arroyo to the ocean. And he had named it Grand Avenue, not because grand like royal, but more grand as it was, a wide, grand, large avenue. And so he envisioned that 100 to 125 feet wide. And he did follow through with that. And, I think part of the problem with Grand Avenue businesses currently is because he made that so wide. I think Arroyo and San Luis, the old part of Arroyo, have the advantage with the narrow streets. And, the area is very walkable, whereas when you're on Grand Avenue, you don't want to cross the street. Or if you do, you got to do it fast. He also favored suffrage. He served in the assembly in 1912. He promoted building roads and highways. And he fought and defeated the liquor lobby. And he was blacklisted by the county's Beer Bottle Association. That's another thing that wouldn't happen in Arroyo right now. He also had bitumen mines, and because there was no city zoning at that time, he had them up on Miller Heights, the big pots where he melted all of the bitumen. So I think Arroyo had a different smell then. He was also one of the major owners of Mohawk Oil Company, which was a local oil company. So in closing, I think it's important to remember not only the site is important and the rarity of the tabernacle itself, it's also the man. He was one of the early, really important people to Arroyo and its economy. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley.
My name's Mike. My name's Mike Dries again. I just want to talk a little bit about the youth camp there. As if anybody has taken a trip out there to look at that land, it's unbelievable. I did it last week just to get an idea of what it was, because it is very, very historical. The 12-sided barn is one of the last things that we probably could preserve. I don't see how we're going to be able to move that, because I think they said you can have it if we want to take it and set it up, but I don't see how anybody's going to be able to move that if you see that structure. But I'd ask the public to go out and look at that land. It's unbelievable what that land is like and how much it is and how beautiful it is and how it would be nice to the city. I wish I lived in a city that had a ton of money and you guys could just say, hey, we're going to buy it and preserve it. But it's not going to happen that way, so we just hopefully we can get somebody to take care of it and preserve it for all of us and forever. It is a beautiful site. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would anyone else like to address the council at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll close the public comment and move on to the interim city manager report. Mr. McFaul.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. There are a couple of items I wanted to bring to council's attention to briefly highlight. The first, we're in the regional center here because, as we all know, the regular city council chambers are being upgraded. Right now, there's a big giant pile of sand in the middle of them. In fact, on the carpet, as I understand from just part of the work that's going on and progressing very, very well. Kelly, our city clerk, is over there every single day and reports back the tremendous cooperation with the contractor that is working on the projects. Unfortunately, there has been one minor setback, not totally unexpected. There was asbestos that was found despite all the best search beforehand to find asbestos. This, as the demolition was going on, some was found. It has been removed and properly remedied, but probably will result in a slight delay in the construction of the project. As you know, staff had long been intending on moving in, being able to go back in and have the reorganization ceremony in there. It's likely probably won't be ready until the 1st of January to go in. Next, the Harvest Festival, and I have to report secondhand on this. You were all there. By all counts, it was a spectacular event. We have the city of Arroyo Grande had an opportunity to set up a booth at the last minute. Normally, the police department has a booth, but wasn't able to fully staff it. So there was a number of employees that volunteered to be in the booth. And once again, all accounts had a good time and a lot of good interaction with the community. There's a debriefing this Monday night from the committee that's working on it. And we'll be making a number of recommendations for next year. The last one was an event that I did have an opportunity to participate, and that was the Empty Bowls program fundraiser for the Five Cities homeless program. To say it was a remarkable event was an understatement. I talked to the executive director today to get just some outcomes from it. Over 700 people attended the event. They ran out of soup twice and had to run back to the restaurants to get more. There was over 650 bowls made. Those bowls were made by 20 local artists, not including the students in the Rio Grande ceramics class. There's wide participation from the community. Not the least was your attendance that was there, and a number of other city employees and county officials who all felt this was important enough to be there. The amazing numbers at the end of the day, over $30,000 was raised from this single event. This goes into addressing requests that they have, requests for assistance from those in homeless, which have doubled in this last year. In fact, they're having a very difficult time keeping up with the requests. So they're very grateful for this. And in particular, the homeless organization would like to extend a giant thanks to St. Pat's. It's made their facility available for this, for their ongoing support at this location. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. Any questions for? Okay. Any comments on the city manager report? Okay, hearing none, moving on to the consent agenda. Would anyone like to consider something on the agenda separately?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
No? Okay. Is there any public comment on the consent agenda items?
Nine E. We keep getting monthly water supply and demand updates. However, it was recently brought up. In fact, Shane Taylor was the one who stated it, that when Lopez goes dry, our aquifers do not have enough water to supply us at today's rate of what we use water. And I'm just wondering, why is this all we're hearing about? Why are you not talking to us residents about this? You know, you hear it time and time again, water, water, water. But we're not having workshops. We're not having anything. We just get these little updates. And as a resident, I'd like to say, I'd like to see some more in-depth conversation going on, whether it's a moratorium or not, what the triggers are going to be, etc. This isn't satisfying the public's need to know, I don't feel. So thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to comment on the consent agenda items? 9A through 9D. Okay. Hearing none. Council discussion?
Well, I do wonder if we can follow up, since we do already have agendized the further discussion, just to be sure it gets in somewhere here.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, just to briefly address that, as requested by council previously, at the next council meeting on October 11th, there will be a very comprehensive report on the status of the water that we anticipate will generate substantial conversation, dialogue amongst council and also the community.
Thank you.
I would move for approval of consent items 9A through 9D.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve consent agenda items 9A through 9D. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes. This evening we have no public hearings and we have no old business. So that brings us to item number 12, which is new business. And I will ask the city clerk to please introduce item 12A.
Item 12A is consideration of a resolution of intention and introduction of ordinance to approve an amendment to the contract between the Board of Administration, California Public Employees Retirement System, and the City of Aurora Grande.
And we have a staff report.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, we'll go directly to our Administrative Services Director for this report.
Good evening, Mayor, members of council. That's pretty much it. No, we need to amend our contract with CalPERS because we, as you know, have recently entered into a new contract with our Police Officers Association, wherein the POA members will be picking up a share of the city's portion of the cost of the retirement. And in order to do that, we need to amend our contract with CalPERS. So what's before you tonight is the paperwork to make that happen.
Thank you. Any questions from council? Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing no public comment, council discussion? Motion.
I would move for approval of item 12A.
Resolution and ordinance.
There's two actions, the resolution and introduction of an ordinance that'll have to be read by title.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would move approval of a resolution of intention to approve amendment to contract between the Board of Administration, California Public Employees Retirement System, and the City Council of Aurora Grande.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes.
I would move for approval of an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Aurora Grande authorizing an amendment to the contract between the City Council of the City of Aurora Grande and the Board of Administration of the California Public Employees Retirement System.
Second.
Okay. It's almost stereo. I think Council Member Brown might have got there just a split second ahead. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Harmon?
Yes.
And Mayor Hill?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. And we will then move on to item 12B, and we'll have the city clerk introduce that item, please.
Item 12B is consideration of procurement of consultant services for city manager recruitment.
Okay, and the interim city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Well, this actually is a relatively routine item, releasing a request for services proposal. I did actually want to spend a bit of time explaining the process and some of the changes that are being proposed by staff in this process. There's two actions that are before the council. The first is authorizing the interim city manager to distribute the request for proposal for an executive search firm that I'll go back and address in just a moment. And then secondly, for the city council to designate two council members to serve on an ad hoc committee to interview the firms that are represented by the proposals and to develop a recommendation that would come back to the city council for consideration, that consideration being to hire a specific firm to manage the recruitment process. Somewhat by way of background, there's four major steps in a recruitment process. The first, and what council is doing tonight, is the retention of hiring the executive search firm if the determination has been made to use one. An executive search firm for a city manager is the traditional and typical way to do it, and I believe holds a lot of benefits to the organization as opposed to doing it in-house. If there's any questions on that, I'd be happy to address that further. Secondly, after the retention of the firm is the development of the candidate profile, doing the actual outreach and the recruitment, and following that, the interview and the vetting process, and then lastly, the final selection for the final selection of the successful candidate. With the RFP that's being released, the council is being requested to authorize for release tonight, would be out to professional search firms, designated firms that I would say that we have already pre-qualified for response. I have a 30-day period in order to respond to those firms. And then when they have responded, the ad hoc committee from that the city council would appoint, supported by the interim city manager and the administrative services director, would interview those firms in a matter that would be recommended during the process, and then make that selection. The question that undoubtedly would come up is this any different than what we did last time? First, from a standpoint of just the process itself, this is, in general, the same process that the City Council used last time, in that they went through a competitive process to find a qualified firm. They engaged that firm and then went through a recruitment process. That itself is proposed to be no different this time. That, in fact, is the exact typical process that you would use. What is different is the what will be proposed after the requests have come in is that the actual vetting process, there's some additional vetting that I think your staff and myself would recommend that would look at the success and track record of the various different firms to see if, in fact, how long have their recommended placements been successful in the placements that they have had, that therefore looking for longevity of the of their placements, and how they have actually fared with the other organizations and other cities that have been using them, and the referrals and recommendations from those organizations. I will say the last firm that you retained actually did have a very good track record, very similar vetting process by the previous ad hoc committee determined that in fact they were a qualified firm. In fact, they had a very successful track record. The next change, though, in the process would be, and I think one that's probably as significant, is in the actual recruitment process that we're not specifically addressing tonight. Tonight is just to release is to release for the RFP, and when we begin working with the firm, there are definitely recruitment characteristics and recruitment processes that we would recommend that would be enhanced from the previous the previous process that was used. In saying that, though, I do want to indicate there was no fatal flaw. I don't believe that there was a fatal flaw in the last process. The City Council followed what would be the normal procedure. You hired a qualified firm. You used a very full process. There is some parts of it along the way that, looking back now, hindsight, that we could say we could bolster up, and that's exactly what we would do on a going forward process, particularly in terms of more quality control and double checking to ensure that the applicant pool is a very robust pool and that it actually refers back and compares favorably to the ideal candidate that was described described in the brochure. You had a very excellent brochure. We'll be making some adjustments to it, but once again, I don't believe there was a fatal flaw in the process, but we can do a better job this next time. This evening, so in addition to the first action, that of releasing the RFP, secondly, the second action that's being requested to council is the selection determination of a council ad hoc committee. As I'd indicated, this is a committee that would represent the city council in the interview and vetting process of the applications that are submitted, and at the conclusion of their review interview process, they would return to the full city council to present their recommendation to the council for consideration. I think that is important, as the city manager works for the city council, I think it is important for the council to maintain jurisdiction throughout the entire process. And the reason that I bring that up is there are different options of how agencies go about hiring professional search firms. One of those is that they actually assign staff to do that, perhaps a HR director or a city manager to do that and then make a recommendation to the city council. In this case, and by the tradition of a Rio Grande City Council has taken on that role of doing that vetting, and that seems like an appropriate role, once again, being that the city manager and the recruiting firm is going to be working directly for the city council. But options in making the appointments of the ad hoc committee, options that the city council could consider would be they could assign that to staff if that was their preference. Last time, the city council appointed the mayor and the mayor pro tem for that role. The city council could also appoint two council members, two other council members. In the consideration of making the appointment this time, the reality is you're in a council transition period. And the city council, any of the options the council would select, any members, two members of the council that were selected, undoubtedly, in my belief, would do the utmost that they could to find and appoint the best firm in the interests of the city to help to recruit a city manager. And given the transition period of time that's taking place, there may be other considerations the council wants to evaluate, whether it be the mayor or the mayor pro tem, which would be traditional, or appoint other council members, perhaps considering some continuity through the entire council transition process. The timing of the entire recruitment. Last time, when the recruiter was retained, there was an estimated 3 to 4 month recruitment period. It actually required a little over 6 months to go through the process, and then there was a 2 month delay until the then appointed city manager was actually be able to begin. Under the proposed schedule, if council began the process this evening by releasing the RFP, it's estimated that the actual appointment or start date of the new city manager would be in the April-May 2017 timeframe. Again, this is anticipating what would be approximately a 6 month period of time. The last item that I wanted to note was the cost. The last recruitment, the total cost was in the range of about $30,000. That's for the direct contract and for the reimbursable expenses. Our experience of other cities in the area is that continues to be about what the other cities are experiencing. So we're estimating this evening that that's approximately what we would anticipate the cost to be this time. That certainly could differ depending upon the firm that's retained. This is not a lowest responsible bidder type of proposal. This is a professional contract which gives a lot of latitude to the City Council to look for the best match. And while the cost is one consideration, it is only one of many considerations. So I have not asked Council this evening to approve a specific amount until Council has actually gone through the process. We know what the cost would be, have a better idea at it, and when we come back and make the actual recommendation for the retention of a specific recruiter, then we would also ask Council for approval of the budget. That's the overview that I wanted to provide to this, and happy to answer any questions that Council may have.
Questions?
I just have one. I just wanted to go ahead and clarify that with the on page 2, the phasing of the transition, then November to December is the candidate profile. So the anticipation start date is actually would be April for the new city manager. Is that what's intended?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Since putting this together, I've worked on another schedule. I'd say it's more likely April, May, but this continues to be the schedule that we would anticipate.
All right, thank you. No other questions?
Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. So I just wanted to make sure there were changes to the RFP because the first RFP wasn't in here, but you went over all those, Bob. So I appreciate that because I think there's some significant changes that might help the city. And then is there any, since we weren't altogether happy with the first recruitment firm, is there any chance, I talked with Heather briefly about recapturing any of that $30,000, but then also there might be other ways. So if Heather can expand on that.
The contract with the previous recruitment firm did include a placement guarantee that said if the person they placed with the agency did not last longer than a year, that they do provide a placement guarantee. However, that one-time placement guarantee, which is at no charge, is only for their services for them to come again and assist with a second placement. It does not include their expenses, so we would still be paying for their expenses. And there is no other alternative of no thank you, but we'd like our money back. That isn't an option under the contract. It's if we wanted to use their services again, we could do so at no cost. Of course, again, though, that's not counting their expenses. But I don't know that the council has an interest in using their services again.
Okay, thank you for that, Heather.
Mr. McFaul.
I'd like to know one final item. There has been interest expressed both on the part of staff, in particular the executive team, and also members of the community to participate in some manner. There are appropriate times in a process like this if the council chooses to, in fact, engage the community and to engage other key stakeholders. And, in fact, in contemporary recruitment processes, at very strategic and specific times, those types of engagements can take place. I would recommend against making any specific determinations this evening because that's a discussion that is very best held between the City Council and the firm that you hire with the kind of experience they have of what they feel for your community and the type of individual and candidate you're looking for, what works best with them. This is a very dynamic process. That's how it should be. It should not be a cookie-cutter type of process. It should be because a great amount of work in planning and deliberation has taken place. place, and one step leads to a next step, which leads to another step. So I say that, though, because I do believe that there is a good opportunity, such right to begin with, which I believe actually occurred before, but is in the definition of what the ideal candidate is. It's a great opportunity to get broad input into that. But it is always important that in the end, this individual works for the city council, and the city council is charged with the responsibility in providing the overall leadership to the community, and are the ones who are going to make the final determination of who you believe is best suited to provide that type of administrative leadership for the organization.
Any other questions or comments for staff?
No, Mr. Mayor, not for me.
Okay. Is there public comment on this item?
Is this on? Oh, there we go. Thank you. I have a real concern about this item right now, and my concern is I feel like we're just sort of brushing under the rug that we have a, for lack of a better term, headhunter ready to go for free. Now, I'm not saying that we should be going with this person, but my concern is that that wasn't even written in the staff report. So the public hasn't seen that we're waiving that. And if we're waiving that, then my concern again is that we are spending upwards of $30,000 again to find another city manager at a time when we don't necessarily have to spend it. That signals to me the fact that everything's so quiet up here. It signals to me that there's something wrong. Something wrong with the other recruiter. Now, I have not privy to any of the information that you all hear in closed session, and my suspicion is that there's something there. So what I see as the most prudent course isn't to jump right back into this process and spend another $30,000 plus of taxpayer money, but to try, at least, to do this on our own. We know just as well what we've gone through. We have a lot of good people here in the city, and we haven't even tried to fill this position without spending that taxpayer money, and especially when we've got a credit with someone who Mr. McFaul has said did a fine job and passed through the RFP process. So we have no real guarantee that the next person coming through isn't going to have the same issues as the first. Or do we? And so that's where I have a problem. It feels like there's nothing being said here, and I'm really concerned about that kind of taxpayer money being spent when it doesn't necessarily have to be. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to comment on the item? Okay, hearing none, we'll bring it back to council.
I have a question for staff, if I could.
Please.
Bob, just given your, and I'm kind of relating to our earlier conversation that you and I had, do you, based on what you've said, do you have any possible suggestions on going forward in terms of the ad hoc committee?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, you know, what is, what makes that a somewhat difficult question to ask is the obvious situation that there is an election that's taking place with an unknown outcome. And under normal circumstances, I think I would probably make a recommendation that was similar to the one that was made a year and a half ago with the previous process that recommended the mayor and the mayor pro tem serve in the role as the ad hoc committee. What I really don't want to do is I want to be sensitive to the issue that based on this timing that's taking place, there is going to be one council initiating this process and then a second council completing the process. Now, all of the key decisions, all the interviews, the determination of who the qualified applicants are, all of those decisions, what I call the key decisions, will all be made by the newly seated council. You would not want to bifurcate. I don't believe you would want to bifurcate that. In this case, though, in initiating the process at this point in time, I think that it's important to look at how can we best stage this. Under this schedule, if you begin the process now, tonight, as recommended, and then received the applications, went through a reasonable period of time for the ad hoc committee to vet and background those the proposals that are received. You would be returning on November 22nd to actually make the recommendation to the full city council. On November 22nd, there will be clearly identified a new council that would be seating by the change of at least one seat in the position. There is no doubt in my mind, particularly based on my one-on-one conversations with you, that any one of you would put your full heart into making what is the best determination for this recruitment process and the best recruiter, whether you saw yourself on the city council in the future or not. Everybody would make that decision. Perhaps, so that given this, the circumstance, that looking for looking at another rationale, such as continuity through the entire process. Are there any individuals that would provide continuity through the process? That perhaps that would be an option to consider. It kind of goes back to the comment that I made to begin with, that I do believe that the council needs to maintain management jurisdiction over this entire process, because the city manager works for you. It's important that you do. So those are, you know, without totally annihilating the elephant in the room that's on this, I mean, that is the timing that we're in right now. I'm trying to be very sensitive to that, and perhaps looking at the continuity through this could be one alternative. Although, again, I want to say there's no doubt in my mind anybody would proceed with integrity in making this, serving on the ad hoc committee.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, we've had public comment on it. Is there comment from the council?
Well, I'd just say I agree with Bob. I'd support any two members that are willing to do it. I'm comfortable with anybody. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, I think under comment, I will deal with carefully with the suggestion about using the prior recruiter. And I think certainly nobody appreciates $30,000 more than I do, but I do think, considering the importance of this position, that we really have to have no doubt, not even something like a 3-2 vote or something. We really do have to have a real consensus going forward, and I don't think that we would have consensus going forward on the prior recruiter. So I do think, I also think that given the what's required here in recruitment, the idea that we could do this in-house, I just don't see how that would be possible, considering that we're going to want to approach people that are currently employed. And I don't see how we could possibly accomplish that if we did that in-house. So I did just want to deal with that up front. I do think we certainly the opportunity is there for the previous recruiter to respond to the RFP. But I do think that we're looking for real consensus here rather than taking any chances going forward, because we do need a lot of certainty going forward. So I just want to comment on that.
Mm-hmm. If I could, and I would only like, I'd like to perhaps add to that. I do obviously find that I'm compelled to find that the qualified recruiter is qualified, because that recruiter has had many successful appointments, and I just don't think that I could stand here and say that they weren't qualified. I think I can comfortably say, though, that recruiter ended up not being a good match for what the city council was looking for, and that we did have issues along the way that and perhaps advice given that may have contributed to the outcome. So I think based on that, and understanding now that perhaps there are some other questions about the process and what they're comfortable with. In fact, perhaps, like, for example, what level of public or staff engagement that they may have, how they view backgrounding, how you do the level of objectivity and arm's length transition and all of that. Those are things now that we'll dig deeper into now, and particularly since we have the experience of what one person's opinion is versus perhaps another. And then the last item, as far as doing it in-house, you know, if we were a large HR operator, this is a very significant undertaking. And last time, actually, we had indicated this as the RRFP actually called for it to be a statewide recruitment. We are actually doing a nationwide recruitment this time, and we don't have the capacity nor the contacts to be able to manage that. There's an enormous amount of trust that is involved between the applicant and also the recruiter, because up until literally the last days of the process, typically this is a highly confidential process. Most qualified applicants feel far more comfortable working with a bonded recruiter who understands the significance of that level of confidentiality versus on an executive level, not saying other levels. Of course, it's not appropriate, but on an executive level. My experience is that this is likely the best outcome at this level of position.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments?
I do.
Councilmember Hunt.
I'd just like to address some of the tasks that are before us. I would like to move forward with the RFP process based on the timeline for the stated reasons. I also think it's appropriate that council versus our HR, a very qualified HR department, be involved in the recruitment and selection process for the reasons outlined in the report, which include the fact that qualified firms keep themselves apprised of professionals that would make suitable candidates, are able to offer unique outreach services to individuals that might not otherwise apply for the position, and help to reduce any perception that the process is not impartial, and like Councilmember Guthrie indicated, also due to the high nature of confidentiality often involved with these types of recruitments. I'm also glad that the contract will be funded from savings that are in the city manager program budget. So this is not new money. It's actually from savings, even though I know how we all are about spending our savings. I think the continuity is also important as we interview the firms, and I'd certainly be happy and would be available to be part of the process to interview the recruitment firms. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you. I would echo Councilmember Harmon and Councilmember Guthrie. I'm sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Harmon, Councilmember Guthrie's comments. I would love to be able to use the recruiter that we did. I definitely do not think that's a good idea. I think that staff has an incredibly high workload right now with all that's going on. I don't think they'd have time to do the job, to do the recruitment. I am concerned about impartiality, and I think that a headhunter would be the way to go. Also, the confidentiality issues rise to the top as well as concerns that we saw in the last process, and we need to be prepared for that, and that would be hard for staff to deal with. So I am ready to move forward with the release of the RFP and the ad hoc committee. I would recommend Mayor Pro Tem Harmon and Councilmember Brown, as those are the council members that will definitely be here after November. And so I think that would be the smart way to go. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Brown.
I already spoke.
Okay. I tend to agree with my fellows here. I think Councilmember Guthrie's comments were on point, that one concern with the prior experience with the recruiter, some recruiters apparently have focus areas. They may recruit for senior staff, such as the director level. Others may recruit for city manager level. So there may be specialties that the recruiters have that may focus on different positions in the organization and trying to fill those. But I agree with the comments that the staff is probably not beyond just the workload issues of having the contacts and the resources necessarily, especially nationwide, to bring forward the most qualified candidates. And I think the last search was probably statewide, and I think looking nationwide is probably well advised. So I'm also prepared to move forward with the item this evening. I agree with Councilmember Barnidge that since Mayor Pro Tem Harmon and Councilmember Brown will transcend the election, that they would provide the most continuity on the recruitment process, and I have full confidence in their ability to do that. So I'm prepared to move forward with that also.
I would move for approval of consideration of procurement of consultant services for city manager recruitment, with the ad hoc committee being Councilmember Brown and Mayor Pro Tem Harmon.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we authorize the interim city manager to distribute the RFPs and designate Mayor Pro Tem Harmon and Councilmember Brown as the ad hoc committee. May we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Barnidge?
Yes.
Mayor Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Harmon?
Yes.
Moving on then, council reports. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting, which was very little on the agenda, with the exception of something that I found personally very troubling, which was comments that had been made in a posting by Ms. Lucy, who's one of the board members, that alleged that the sanitation district has spent millions on a poorly maintained plant, that the effluent is so dirty you can't use it, that the field supervisor is, quote, running the plant into the ground, and it's created more harm to us and polluted the ocean past repair. Those are quotes from her posting. And I took strong exception to that. John Clemens, who's the plant superintendent, and the operating staff there have done an outstanding job of running the plant. It is well maintained, not poorly maintained. The plant is not being run into the ground. On the contrary, it is being run in accordance with its design and quite well. And the allegation that it's created harm and polluted the ocean past repair also doesn't stand scrutiny, in that the Regional Water Quality Control Board has found that the plant is operating well. The surf riders, one of the representatives was just here, would agree with the good job that the plant staff has done. And so I had hoped that the board would have moved to disavow those comments, which are factually inaccurate. Unfortunately, that motion did not pass. So that is the majority report of the sanitation district. There was no meeting of the Briscoe Halcyon Interchange Committee. There's not been a meeting of the Oversight Board to the successor agency to dissolve the Rio Grande Redevelopment Agency. The CJPIA is scheduled to have, or has just had, a executive board meeting, but not a regular membership meeting. So those are my involvement, and there's no reports accordingly. Mayor Pro Tem Harmon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Water Resources Advisory Committee last met September 7th. Ongoing updates regarding the implementation process of groundwater basin management and groundwater sustainable agencies, referred to as GSAs, were provided. This included the likelihood of three or more GSAs forming over the Paso Basin. Also, the committee moved to support establishing a 3.1 minimum threshold for the reserves of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District General Fund budget. Their pollution control district meets again tomorrow, so an update will be provided next month regarding items on that agenda. Here are the updates from the Five Cities Fire Authority. I'm pleased to announce Battalion Chief Dave Pargee reported for his first day of duty yesterday. Also, three new reserves that have been under consideration are scheduled to start what is known as, quote, Rookie Academy, close quote, in October, and start on the floor in November, which is a very valuable resource for the authority, and it's also wonderful that the candidates are just stellar. So we're very excited about that addition to the team. The self-contained breathing apparatus grant will be pursued, and the process opens for grant submittal actually the week of the second week of October, and the deadline is in November. So I will certainly keep everybody posted on that. The unfortunate or fortunate thing about this grant opportunity, as we discussed previously, is that we will not know until possibly the earliest of June whether we are successful in obtaining this grant. So we will definitely be incorporating options for budget planning purposes related to that unknown factor. Calls for service are actually up about 100 calls from last year. However, what also is interesting is that the responses have actually shifted to a more equal basis within the areas. So we're still following that trend because it is a new trend, but it seems like there's an equal amount of responses to the areas. Regarding the automatic mutual aid, our resources are being kept in the response areas. And this has led to a reduction in calls. For example, year-to-date calls are now at 171 versus last year's at this time was 283. Regarding the Ide Street fire that was mentioned earlier in public comment, the authority's response time was 3 minutes. The fire is still under investigation. I wanted to give a shout-out, as cliche as that might sound, to the Five Cities Fire Authority personnel that were on scene. Those were Captain Paul Quinlan, Captain Brian Leathers, Captain John Bova, Engineer Rob Child, Engineer Joe Silva, Firefighter Joe Farnsworth, Firefighter Cameron Rigby, Firefighter Paul Collada, Duty Chief Tom Huey, and Fire Chief Steve Lieberman. These personnel performed exceptionally and under mission-critical conditions. A cat and a dog were rescued from the adjacent apartment unit. Also, I want to acknowledge the multiple units from CAL FIRE and the great partnership that we have between agencies. Lastly, I wanted the community to also know that the apartment tenants have been displaced and are in need of a place to stay. The repairs are expected to be about 6 months, and so I just wanted to throw that opportunity out to anyone in our very giving community. If they have any resources related to a temporary place to stay for this couple, please let me know, and I'll pass that information on. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Can I just make a comment real quick?
Sure.
I just wanted to mention I talked to people that were on scene when the fire started, and they called for help, and they were amazed, and they just gushed about how quickly. Now, obviously, they were really close by anyway, mm-hmm. but the rapidness of their response was very much seen by the citizens on scene, and they were very, very appreciative of what happened because it could have gotten a lot worse. Mm-hmm. So. Just wanted to mention that.
Yesterday I toured the incident, and you know you can just see by the proximity. And I know everybody's kind of familiar where it happened, but the proximity, the close proximity, and you know you always have these what ifs related to the situation, and so that's why it's just even you know kind of like it does us proud by the response that occurred. It was just a huge stop that the guys did. So thank you, Mr. Brown.
I'd also comment briefly on that, having had occasion to be in the area and see the response and the results. Our police department responded and was actually using a garden hose at one point to help with it, while the fire authority did respond very rapidly. and I believe it ended up as a two-alarm situation, which is why CAL FIRE came, as well as some elements from St. Louis Fire. So thank you to all of the responders who very professionally, on a really hot day too, responded to that and took care of the event. It could have been a lot worse than it was. It was bad enough, but it could have been considerably worse. So thank you to all involved with that. Councilmember Guthrie.
I'll start with, since I missed it last time, the SLOCOG meeting from August, which was pretty short. Sometimes I wonder why, but at any rate, we did have the, it seems like we every other meeting we vote on one version of the FTIP or other, but we did do a preliminary review of the federal transportation plan, and in anticipation of passing again in October. We also had at that RTA, a small RTA item, but important to the South County Transit. And as I mentioned a couple meetings ago, we did have a retirement of the area supervisor, and in replacement of that position, they have hired two. What do they actually call them? They've hired what I'll call two street-level supervisors to ensure that, since we have management from the RTA, that we have people on site who can deal with issues involving involving passengers and bus problems. And the RTA picked up part of that because of their position, since their buses stop are actually a major part of our operation here, and their buses stop at two of our locations. They are picking up part of that, and that was a decision made at that meeting that needed to be made in a very short time. Moving on to the September meeting, there was no SLOCOG portion of that. That was purely about RTA. We did review our strategic plan, which is where they look at a lot of metrics. One of the notable changes there is that because of the new data collection that they have, that their on-time performance went from a perceived 95% down to 80%. So that, meaning that they used to just really time it out at the end of the route. If they were on time, then they were on time, whereas now they can identify at every single stop whether they were on time. So, but the good news there is the data is giving them the information where they'll be able to really focus on not being at bus stops early, leaving, you know, to where people end up missing the bus because they were on time but the bus was early, but also that they're able to identify the problem areas in the route. The other big item there was in the North County, they are putting together, like we have a South County transit station that's up behind us over here. They have a similar operation that they had to move out of the downtown area and are now a little closer over by the freeway there and in a joint operation in a yard with the city. Involved a lot, since there's going to be some work down there, negative declaration, environmental declaration, which was done in-house to save a lot of money, and required some special review on our part. And really good job to staff to get that together and help us out with that. So those were the two items. South County Transit has not met. The Tourism Committee has not met, and as mentioned, the Briscoe Halcyon Committee has not met. I do wonder if, given the timing here, if we don't want to get that together, since we're hearing about a significant changes in December, even though the mayor and I serve on that, I do think we need to at least meet and get a report back to council. Mm-hmm.
I would agree with that. Also, a thank you to Mr. Straw and the staff, too, for responding. There was a bus stop that had an inordinately long red curb, and they took care of that, which was a benefit to one of the communities. So thank you to the staff for the good work on that. Any other comments, questions? Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, Integrated Waste Management met on September 14th. One of the discussions that came up was the lack of recycling sites for people to bring their recycling. And what's come out is there's been such a high return rate that they don't have money to keep the sites open. And quite honestly, Bill Worrell said, based on the fact that we now have recycling bins at everybody's home, that we might be left with that as our resource for recycling a lot of materials. The other thing that came up was the legislative update. The legislature session ended August 31st, and the governor had until September 30th to sign a number of bills. And we had previously discussed these bills, and so that's why he brought them back. We supported SB 1229 by Senator Jackson. This bill would provide that the owner or operator is not liable for civil damages arising from the use of secure drug take-back bins if the owner or operator takes reasonable steps as specified to ensure the safety and health of consumers and employees and the proper disposal of the waste in the stream of pharmaceutical waste contained in the bins. This bill was signed by the governor. We opposed Bill AB 45, that was by Assemblymember Mullen. This bill would require CalCycle to adopt or model more ordinances for comprehensive programs for the collections of household hazardous waste. This did not pass the governor's desk. Near the end of the legislative session, SB 1383 was amended to include the following: a 50% reduction in the level of statewide disposal of organic waste from the 2014 level by 2020, and a 75% reduction in the level of statewide disposal of organic waste from the 2014 level by 2025. SB 1383 passed on August 31st and has been sent to the governor for approval. Lastly, the California Board of Pharmacy has issued revised proposed unwanted medicine regulations on August 4th and opened a 15-day comment period. The revised regulations are significantly improved compared to the original regulations, and the IWMA commented on the revised regulations with similar comments to the original regulations. And that's all I have to report with that. And the Economic Vitality Corporation meets tomorrow. Thank you.
I'll have a couple questions on that.
Sure.
The disposal of outdated medicines, are they make? I know that's been an issue, and are they going to make that hopefully easier to dispose of?
That was my understanding, and the pharmacies were actually, they didn't want to basically do it, but they're kind of going along with their program now. So, yeah, it did seem to be that was going to be the case, but I haven't read the actual regulations yet.
Right. Hopefully so, and I would, again, urge residents not to dispose of those kinds of medicines down the drain, because they are they interact adversely in many cases with the sanitation district facilities. So just another plug, please do not put chemicals or medicines down the drain.
Can I ask a question as well? I just wanted to follow up on the redemption center, which at least the impression from the letters we had is as if we had closed the redemption center, when really it just moved a block and a half to the Vons.
No, actually, in the county, most of them are closing.
So here locally, so it wasn't...
Even locally, we don't have as many as we used to. We don't have the one that used to be over by... Well, there was one up on the hill. I don't know if that one's still open.
I know it's been a long time. There used to be one down in the industrial section of Grover Beach, yeah, down off of 4th Street. But recently, those all closed a long time ago.
Right.
Recently, the letter, or at least the email that I saw, seemed to be related to this one that closed at Spartan Final and moved a block over to Vaughn's.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure that the public knew that didn't close, that it just moved.
Right.
Statewide, though, there's been a very significant percentage of recycling centers closed down.
And particularly countywide, that's really an issue.
Yes. Okay, Councilmember Barnage.
Thank you.
Mr. McFaul had a comment.
I just wanted to respond to one of the items that the council had brought up. And, Mr. Guthrie, we will be bringing a report on the October 25th council meeting on Briscoe, and is our plan to have a subcommittee meeting prior to that. So we'll have that scheduled shortly.
Thank you.
Councilmember
Barnett. For the Zone 3 Water Advisory Board, it was an interesting meeting because we had land use items on our agenda. There was an easement asked for a landlocked piece of property under Zone 3's jurisdiction up above Lopez Lake. The board had comments that we passed on to the Board of Supervisors, but because of sort of the... They just didn't have a lot of information why they wanted the easement, and we weren't sure how the watershed would be affected until we had the actual use of what they were going to do to the property. They said they were maybe going to camp there, but we weren't sure if there would be ag operations in the future. So we didn't feel comfortable, and we just sort of passed all of our comments on to the Board of Supervisors. There was also another item regarding an annexation of land near Avila Beach, which was, we did the same thing as well because we weren't comfortable with the information that we had, and it was really, to us, a lot of us, it was precedent setting. There's a piece of property where part of the land is in the Zone 3 jurisdiction and part of it is not, and he wanted to annex the whole piece into the Zone 3 to the county as Zone 3, and we just were uncomfortable with that because of the possibility for the future for someone else to do the same thing. He wasn't asking for any more water. He wasn't using a lot of water, but we didn't know in the future what the impact would be, so that was another interesting item that we gave a lot of comment and discussion on, and we sent that to the Board of Supervisors as well. The Homeless Services Oversight Council meeting was a lot of... we actually didn't vote on anything, but we had a lot of updates on some items that are really important. There's a lot happening right now with the homeless services in the county. We had, on August 30th, we had our first MASH event in South County. They've had them in the North County, and we tried it down here in South County. It was very successful. We had 83 clients that were served that day. And Director English was there. He took time off of his day to go serve lunch. My husband and I attended on our wedding anniversary. That was our wedding anniversary, but we were there for a little bit. It was really exciting to see because getting up to the point of actually having this event, it took a really collaborative effort with the county, with Grover Beach, with Pismo Beach, with Arroyo Grande. There was a lot of stops and starts. There was some... uncomfortableness, I'll say, with some individuals that weren't sure this was going to be something that the community or the neighborhood would welcome. There might be issues, vandalism, loitering. And I'm proud to report that there's absolutely zero instances of anything that was negative. In fact, the reach out that the county did, it was in Grover Beach, and it was at the church that is, it's all of a sudden escaping me, but it's right off of Oak Park and Newport. And it was, they reached out, they went to the neighborhood, and they took flyers to the neighbors. And actually, instead of the neighbors being concerned that this was going to happen for 3 hours in their neighborhood, they said, thank goodness you're doing something. This is awesome. And then a couple of them actually volunteered to come over and help. So we had no calls for service for police or fire. The biggest disturbance were the dogs that were barking because they were getting vaccinations that were free. We had actually a couple people that were applied for some jobs, and for some reason it's not in my email, but next meeting I'll give the stats because there's a good amount of people that were helped with all these different programs, and there were Sheila Blake, Councilwoman Sheila Blake from Pismo Beach made chili for 83 people and all the workers, and food to go along with that.
and she that was amazing. And they got the clients got haircuts, they got showers, they got clothes. You were able to sign up for CalFresh, which is what we used to call food stamps. There were obviously job opportunities, housing opportunities, vaccinations for pets. They had ID cards from the DMV that were there. They had a bike drawing. So it was, to say it was successful is an understatement. So it's really exciting, and I'm hoping we can do it again. And I really appreciate the county and Grover Beach and Pismo Beach working with us to have it down in this area. The other thing that came up at the HSOC is the warming center. The Arroyo Grande will be hosting the same location at the Department of Social Services for the warming center. And I'll have some more information on that at our next meeting. Also, the county does need volunteers for the point-in-time count that's in January, and that's going out. We have that every 2 years, and we count the homeless in the county. And it's not necessarily on the morning of the count. I mean, they need help doing that, but they also need help leading up to it with training and then afterwards with tabulating all the information. And they actually have an app on cell phones they're going to use to go out when they meet with the homeless and take the information, and that's new this year. So a lot of exciting things happening, trying to help the less fortunate, and that's all. Thank you.
Okay, is there any public comment on the reports? Okay, hearing none. Any general public comment? Again, hearing none. We'll move on. We have a closed session item.
I have something for council communications.
Council communications, yes, let's do that.
At our last meeting, we had a couple members of the Five Cities Diversity Coalition. I sit on that committee, make a request for funding for the sculpture that's being installed at the high school. It came out more expensive, of course. Everything always ends up being more expensive. And so they are a little short, and I wanted to see if we could put that on the agenda to at least discuss trying to help fund that. I can't remember exactly what they asked for, but it wasn't a large amount. But if we could consider that, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Mayor Pro Tem.
The council communication I have is to inform that there is the Military Order of the World Wars is getting ready for an October 27 event to honor and it's a tribute to veterans. This year, in particular, the Vietnam War veterans will be recognized for their sacrifice in preserving our freedom and liberty. The reason I'm extending this information to everyone is because for reasons that I'm not completely up to speed with, the Veterans Administration is not releasing the information that this organization needs to notify our Vietnam veterans that this tribute is in their honor and we would like them to attend. So the date is October 27th from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is at the Alex Madonna Expo Center on 100 Madonna Road. That's in San Luis Obispo. For more information, the man leading this is Joseph Brocato, B-R-O-C-A-T-O. And his email is jebrocato@gmail.com. And the attendance by the veterans is actually being sponsored and paid for by grateful citizens of San Luis Obispo County, again, in recognition and appreciation for your service to our country and the world. I also know that there is transportation that's being arranged for those veterans that need it. I'm also going to be reaching out to our local VFW as well as the Guadalupe Organization of Vietnam Veterans. So you can contact me or Mr. Barocco, but we would love to see as many veterans there for this great acknowledgement. They will also be receiving a small It's a small statue that was created from an artist to honor their service. So
give me a holler, everybody. Thank you.
Councilmember Guthrie.
In anticipation here, I'll second Councilmember Barnage's request to bring that back and also ask that the staff include with that the timing on our regular community where we, in place of CDBG funds, I've forgotten what it's called, that we include the timing on that in there. Thank you.
Councilmember Brown.
Nothing.
Okay. Just a thank you to everyone who participated also in the Empty Bowls event. Mr. McFaul mentioned that earlier. That was a huge event and quite successful for the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. The Harvest Festival was a great success. We moderated the Grape Stomp. We had City Attorney Whittem, Councilmember Barnage, Supervisor Lynn Compton, and Chad Robertson from the CMR School Board participated. Great fun.
Was there a certain victor among all of those?
Was.
Well,
after bravely defending the title, it turned out Mr. Robertson was the newly crowned champion.
I came in second.
But a good time was had by all. Okay, moving then to announcements for our closed session item. We have some on the agenda this evening, and I will ask the city attorney to please announce those items.
Yes, Mayor. This evening, the city council will be meeting in closed session for a conference. Actually, let me start over. The successor agency of the will be meeting in closed session for a conference with real property negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 for property located at APN 006-151027 located at Fay Avenue in El Camino Real. The agency negotiators are Debbie Malicote, Finance Officer, and Marty Invick of Lee and Associates, negotiating parties Pacifica Investments LLC and Paramal Naran, and under negotiation are price and terms of payment for sale of property. The City Council will also be meeting in closed session for a conference involving a joint powers agency, Five Cities Fire Authority item for a discussion regarding a conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6 to discuss the Represented Employees International Association of Firefighters, Local 4403.
Thank you very much.
And I have a comment on that, on the last item. Regarding closed session item B, I have no legal conflict of interest, but to make sure to not cause any perception of conflict of interest, I will be stepping down on that item.
Okay, and just a clarification on item A there, we are acting as the successor agency to the dissolved Arroyo Grande Redevelopment Agency. So having announced the closed session items, is there any public comment on the closed session items? Okay, hearing none at this time, we will move to closed session.